sugar, spice, and everything nice. These were the ingredients chosen to create
The Grace Curley Show. Radio, TV, print, Grace Curley does it all.
She sings, she dances, she acts.
I'm waiting by the door for my Pulitzer.
She sounds hideous.
She's just the worst.
Yeah, she's a wacko.
She is the devil. I'm in hell.
Now, here's the millennial with the mic.
She still leaves me both breathless and speechless.
I love her.
She is the best.
Somebody will ask you to say Grace.
Grace Curley.
Grace! We are going to come back to the sexting Nazi in a second. But I did have another story that I want to get Taylor's take on, because I have a strong opinion on it. Zoran Mamdani had a busy weekend. He was not attending the Israel parade in New York City.
Really? He's such an ally.
I don't think that would shock anyone. He was getting a lot of write-ups, like, you know, Hochul was there and Commissioner Tisch was there and he wasn't there. I'm like, it kind of would be really phony for him to be there.
Would you want him there?
Right. Like, it's not... What are you talking about? You don't support this. But the story, that's not even the story that I want to get to. Then they had a video of him while everyone else at this parade riding a bike in his suit with no helmet.
He was riding a bike in a suit?
Yeah.
Yeah. Bad move.
It's just the shoes that make it hard. You know when you have those dress shoes on and they've got no give to them and you're trying to pedal?
Just doesn't look good. It's not, I don't know.
Would you
bikes and suits? No.
Yeah, and he didn't have a helmet on, which was getting people mad about that. But I did think, you know, from a politician's standpoint, what do they say about the hats? You know, I'm pro helmet, of course, but
you look like a dink.
You can't really win. Don't get on a bike if you're.
Is
if
this
you're
the story you wanted my take on?
No.
Is, okay.
No. But,
well, you're getting it anyway. Don't wear a suit while wearing a bike, and if you're wearing a suit, you don't wear the helmet too. I mean, just go full knee pads and elbow pads at that point if that's what you're going to do.
Just don't ride the bike. Just don't ride the bike. You know, just walk. Here's the story, though. Mamdani, did you hear what he wants to do with this bridge? He wants to rename the bridge that's named after former Mayor Ed Koch in New York City.
Yeah.
Who was the mayor in, like, the 1980s. Because this is why he says he wants to rename it, because Koch mishandled the AIDS crisis. He's a three-term mayor. He's actually second Jewish mayor of the Big Apple.
Mm.
Just an interesting detail in the story. Just, you know, in case anyone's curious. World War II vet. And he served from 1978 to 1989. And Mamdani had said during his campaign while he was running, because he made a lot of campaign promises, city-run grocery stores, the free buses, you know, everything. Everything's coming up, Mamdani. And he had a lot of different promises. And one of the things he said was, yes, I would want to rename the bridge. And I'm here to tell you guys something. And this is kind of bipartisan. I'm going to take shots at both sides here. So gird your loins. I'm not into this. I'm not into this renaming of bridges or buildings. And yes, this goes for Trump too. Here's my rule. If you want a bridge named after someone, if you think there's a more worthy recipient of a bridge, build a new bridge. You build a new bridge, you get to put a new name on that bridge. But we're not renaming things. Because to me, it's like, we need to be building things. We need to be a country that's still building. That's why I like that Trump's putting the Arc de Triomphe, the Arc de Triomphe in D.C. I don't mind that, because that's a new structure. And yeah, you think to yourself, is it really a good time for that? Like Iran and everything else. But if you start playing that game, if everyone throughout history had played that game of, I'm the president, is this really a good time to build this or that? You would never build anything, because there's never a good time. It's like going on vacation. There's never a good time for it. You just got to do it, or else you end up in a country that has no architecture and no buildings and no statues and no memorials. So you got to do it. You got to keep adding to the culture. That I'm fine with that. But this scraping off names and plopping your name on top, yes, this is where I'm referring to Trump, or taking off Koch and putting on somebody else's name that you think is more woke or more politically correct is so stupid. Because then what you end up with, and we have this a lot here in Boston, is you got half the people referring it as the original name, and then the young people don't know what it's called because they go there and it's called one thing, but their uncle calls it the original, and it gets confusing. Just either build something new or keep the name. And by the way, so there, his reason for Koch is, he mishandled the AIDS crisis. That's his reasoning.
So here's what happens with that. When you have a reason to take somebody's name off,
you'll always find a reason.
When you have that reason, you have to go in the opposite direction and find somebody who is exemplary of that reason and worked in the net positive for that cause and then put it up. So then you're disenfranchising Bush.
Wasn't Bush pretty good on it?
On gays?
On AIDS, yeah.
On AIDS?
I thought.
I don't
did
know.
I have that opposite? Was he really bad at it?
I didn't really stake his presidency on AIDS. But
okay, well,
oh,
who?
You're talking about HW or W?
I'm talking about W.
Oh, I thought we were done with that by then. I don't know.
Okay, so who
didn't
do
really
you,
pay
who,
attention
who
to
who do
it.
You think goes in the opposite?
It doesn't matter. Does not matter. The point stands. They have to
Fauci?
Go. No.
I'm either thinking of people who are really bad with it.
Fauci was really bad
okay,
with
okay,
it.
Okay, so not Fauci.
Not Fauci.
Take his name off Ridges, too.
We're losing my point here.
Go ahead,
and this
go ahead,
is about
sorry.
Me. So they have to go in the other direction with it and find somebody who's exemplary of a net positive for that cause. That way, now you're disenfranchising all of the people that wanted that bridge or maybe didn't have a stance on the name of that bridge beforehand and now don't care about this cause because you're putting up this person's name on that bridge because of hatred for that one person. Does that make sense?
I'm going to be honest with you.
No.
I started ChatGPTing halfway through that, and I kind of missed what you said. But I did ChatGPT this. Which president was good at fighting AIDS?
That's what you put in?
The answer is generally George W. Bush.
Okay, I didn't really pay attention.
See, my knowledge, Taylor, it's a lifetime of knowledge up in this brain. And it comes out at certain times you don't expect.
Yeah, we both have that ability. Now, we're just in very there's no...
We have a specific set of skills that would work
nowhere
else.
There's no Venn diagram that joins our
No, there's
interests.
Not. But like, Taylor, we also have nowhere else. There's no other industry where this stuff would
Absolutely
work.
Absolutely not.
Maybe Trivial Pursuit, no. maybe, if yeah, you but, get a good yeah, batch of cards. Right. But the other part of this, too, is like, so you just said, and there's definitely some sitcom or something where they have a scene like this where they're trying to rename a school. And someone says, like, what about MLK? We can rename it after MLK. No, he was a philanderer. Or like, oh, we can name it after this person. And like you said, every person.
Oh, it's probably Parks and Rec.
They have an issue with. Every person they bring up who's, you know, oh, this was a person who represents what we're going for. No, that person's not woke enough. No, that person. Because, and this is a newsflash for Democrats, which they're probably finding out in a big way today, considering Graham Platner. People are not perfect. We are all flawed. We're all fallen individuals. And so when you start putting in these litmus tests for who gets to run for something or who gets to have a voice or, you know, who's worthy of redemption, who deserves their job and who doesn't, who should be canceled, who should be this and that. When you start going down that road, it's a slippery slope because soon you're not going to have anybody left to name things after. But the other part of it, and a reason why I hate this whole idea of I didn't like what Ed Koch did with this. With this issue, so let's take his name off the bridge, is that I actually think, Taylor, and it kind of goes back to a topic we used to talk about all the time in like 2020, is tearing down statues or tearing down buildings based off naming them after a person who is considered now, in hindsight, a really bad person, is stupid because you're destroying history. And there's a lot of things, like if you drive over a bridge, okay, and it's named after... Let's say it's the Fauci Bridge in 20. Let's say they named a bridge today after Fauci. Or they, let's go back to COVID. They're like, we love this guy. Everybody loves him except for the Beagles. Let's name a bridge after him.
Same clearance, 5'6".
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And we're driving over this mini bridge 20 years from now. I don't know. It's a piece of history. Like, it's like, okay. And my daughter looks at me and says, Mom, why do they call it the Fauci Bridge? You know what I would say? I wouldn't say, they should have torn this down. I would say, well, darling, let me tell you about one of the worst doctors in the world. His name's Anthony Fauci. It's a chance for you to say, let me explain this part of history in this time and give you a little context here. It doesn't mean, oh, we're driving across the bridge. We're endorsing Dr. Fauci. It's just part of history. And history is not perfect. It's not woke. It's actually the opposite of woke. You're going to see everything in a different way the longer time goes on. And so, no, don't be tearing down or renaming bridges. And so you can slap somebody else's name on there. And guess what? In 5 years, Mom Donnie, the people who love you, the people who want the city-run grocery stores, the people who are chanting from the river to the sea, whoever you decide to name that bridge after, they're not going to like them in 5 years. They're going to find some old tweet. They're going to find some old Kick profile. And that person's going to be out on their ass.
Isn't that what happened with the Cuomo Bridge? They renamed it the Tappan Zee?
Don't even get Howie going on the Tappan Zee.
I know.
I brought this up today in his office. Big mistake. Huge. Huge mistake. He said to me, he looked at me so sincerely.
Did he name some politician you'd never heard of before?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Several. And he looked at me, he goes, that was the best name. It's almost like he gets emotional. He goes, that was the best name for a bridge ever. I'm like, yep. I don't disagree. I do not disagree. So I'm really glad we got that off our chests because I just think this is a bad idea. I just think if you want a bridge and you want to name it after someone who you think is wonderful, you want to name the Hassan Piker Bridge, okay? Because that's who I think Mom Donnie's very friendly with, right? He wants to name a bridge after AOC. He wants to name, that's okay. I don't support, I don't want it, but you want it. You raise the money, you get the funds, and then you build it. You know, you put up a new project. You get to name it. It brings us kind of, Taylor, full circle to the reboot conversation. Enough new ideas. There's not enough stuff out there for you to be taking names down and putting new names on top of them. That new name should be reserved for a new project. New name, new project. It's like, oh, we're going to reboot Ghostbusters. We did it with the guys, and now we had women's Ghostbusters, and now we're going to do cisgender, whatever. No more Ghostbusters. No, you come up with a new movie, and then you get to go on the circuit and explain the movie to us. We need new things, new ideas. You're welcome. Before I went to Perfect Smiles, I honestly didn't realize how much my TMJ was affecting my life. It was really bothering me. I would say most of the time, I would notice it kind of when I was driving. If anyone out there has TMJ, you've probably understood this. You're driving, you carry a lot of tension in your jaw. If I was reading, I would carry a lot of tension. If I was eating, my jaw would hurt. So really, sleeping. So most of the day, I would be carrying this tension in my jaw, and I would get headaches, and I would just be uncomfortable. I would get ear pain, and it disrupted my sleep. And you don't have to live like that. When I got my teeth perfected by Dr. Tam with my Invisalign, my TMJ went away. But even if that's not the case for you, there might be some other issue going on with you that needs to be corrected. Dr. Tam is the one to do it. He is an expert. He specializes in TMJ, and he has new patients coming in from all over, from northern Vermont, from northern Maine, to finally find relief with this problem. Now, if you're dealing with jaw pain, headaches, clicking, even just saying that brings me back because the clicking is when you know it's getting bad, or tension, don't wait. Improve your quality of life by seeing Dr. Tam at Perfect Smiles. They can help you get you back to feeling like yourself again. Visit them today at PerfectSmiles.com. That's PerfectSmiles.com, or call them at 603-595-6699. Change your smile, change your life. We'll be right back.
Watch the show live, rumble.com/TheGraceCurlyShow. This is The Grace Curley Show.
The wake for fallen Boston firefighter Bobby Kilduff is today. I just saw a video. So sad. Beautiful way to remember him. They had a lot of the children from schools nearby come out with their fire hats on, their plastic fire hats. Such a sad story. Tunnels to Towers, I know, has been helping that family in a lot of very significant ways financially, which is wonderful. But he was remembered as a very brave, patriotic, wonderful person, and just a devastating story. Today's poll question is brought to you by Local Silver Mint, located in Ware, New Hampshire. Silver Dave will work with you directly, so contact him at localsilvermint.com. Taylor, what is the poll question, and what are the results thus far?
Today's poll question, which you can vote in at gracecurlyshow.com, is, will Janet Mills unsuspend her Senate campaign?
She just posted for the first time since this entire thing happened, and she just posted about Pride Day. Nothing about Plattner. But yeah, I do think she's going to unsuspend it. I think we're going to be hearing from Janet Mills. And I've been getting messages from people who think because I'm acknowledging that she probably has a better shot at it now after everything that's come out over the past 48 hours, that I am somehow egging on Janet Mills, or I think she should run. I'm just calling it as I see it. You guys know me. I'm an ump. I'm calling balls and strikes. It does seem like Plattner, yeah, you can survive the first 9 scandals. The 10th one is usually the one that does you in. And in this case, and which we'll go over during the next part of the show, is he was asked so many times by people, you sure? You sure this is it? And he always said, yep, 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 all good, all good. And now a lot of people are feeling betrayed. Like, I saw even Neera Tanden, who was part of, I think, the Biden administration, was responding to Jon Favreau being like, don't you feel bamboozled? I'm paraphrasing here. But this sense of, very similar to Eric Swalwell, where you're almost, if you're a Democrat, you're looking at this and going, so you knew all of this. You guys all knew this. This was probably an open secret for the last couple of months. And what, you just didn't think that it was going to come out leading up to the midterms? You didn't think? Maybe they underestimate Republicans' Oppo research or what we can dig up. They think they're the only ones who can dig stuff up. But or maybe after Jay Jones, they're like, there's nothing that's going to deter people from voting.
I think that's more the line. Yeah, they just don't care. 45% say, yes, Janet Mills will unsuspend her Senate campaign.
Mayor Mamdani's whiz kid, that's what they're calling this guy, Katz. This is from the New York Post. Spin doctor has been accused of pressuring Maine Senate hopeful Graham Plattner's ex-political director, that would be Genevieve McDonald, to lie about the horny oyster farmer sexting scandal and threatened her if she didn't. Morris Katz, the 27-year-old hotshot strategist, helped catapult Mamdani to Gracie Mansion, allegedly pressed former Plattner campaign staffer Genevieve McDonald to deny the sexting scandal to the press. Just want to be clear, and I already read you guys this. This is from a message that was reported by the Bangor Daily News. Just want to be clear on where we are right now. If the story goes in its current iteration, we'll communicate directly on the record and by name that Genevieve violated the personal trust of Amy and Graham and shared explicit falsehoods to sabotage the campaign. So if the truth gets out, we will lie about it. If the truth gets out, we will spread lies about this woman. If I'm this lady Genevieve, and it seems like this is the road she went down, but it's like, oh no. No, not the personal trust of these two psychopath slobs, Amy and Graham Plattner. Oh no, I wouldn't want them to not like me. They both seem wacky. And you know, Taylor, we were having a conversation off the air about this whole, we love each other deeply. Right there is a red flag. Couples who talk like that, strange.
I'm in love, and I don't care who knows it.
Methinks the lady doth protest too
much.
Yeah,
that's a red flag. If you have to announce that, nobody talks like that. Oh,
it's like the vow renewal.
Deeply in love. Yeah, vow renewal.
Divorce is imminent.
Again, I always preface this. If it wasn't you, I'm not talking about you. But from my experience, vow renewals mainly take place because there was some indiscrepancy on somebody's side in that marriage, and they're working things out.
Yeah, and they're trying to work past it by declaring, they're starting fresh, turning over a new leaf. But this guy Katz, this is like a theme now with Democrats. You have these white guys who are, in the case of Plattner, he's making fun of or blaming victims of sexual assault. In the case of Katz, he's bullying this ex-political woman, who ex-political advisor, this Genevieve McDonald. It's very misogynistic, Taylor. They're like very macho man yelling at people, you better not. You know what it's actually giving me flashbacks to? And it's not just because we were talking about the Cuomo bridge, but it's giving me flashbacks of Chael Bella. It's giving me flashbacks of the way the Cuomo administration used to work, where they call people up and say, hey, be a real shame if something would happen to you. You better not run that beast, Chabella. It's the Nazi porta potty version of that. It's the socialist. It's the Bernie bro version of the Cuomo campaign. And I hope he keeps going. I hope he stays in it just so he loses. And it's a sure thing for Susan Collins. When we come back, we'll play some of his recent cuts in the mainstream media. Stay with us.
The Grace Curley Show is on the air.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. There's a Chiron right now where Trump said he had a very good call with Hezbollah. And as we're looking at some of the actions from Iran, from the IRGC, towards, you know, the different strikes that they're doing right now. And I just read a headline, and this is why I'm so pessimistic with all this stuff, because Eric Daughtry, he's this guy on Twitter. Taylor and I always say he's the all exclamation point or all caps breaking. And he does the red alert sign, you know, like break. Everything's breaking. Break.
So-and-so just dropped truth nukes on so-and-so.
And he's always Justin.
Yes.
Holy crap.
Yes.
That's a big one. Holy crap. And he put out this tweet today about how, hold on, I just want to pull up the exact one. And of course, right now my computer stops working. It was, hold on here. It says, President Trump has just reversed a planned Israeli invasion of troops into Lebanon after a call with PM Netanyahu. Trump called Hezbollah and got them to stop. This comes as Iran kept blocking negotiations due to Israeli strikes in Lebanon. And then he also wrote earlier today something else about Iran breaking the ceasefire and how, you know, hopefully these talks, these very tentative, like delicate talks, can remain in place. How are they going to remain? How are we talking about a 60-day anything when there hasn't been one day since this 60-day structure that we haven't really signed on to yet, but there hasn't even been a day leading up to it that there hasn't been some sort of break in the ceasefire? I just don't understand what this even means. Again, like, wake me up when September ends. Wake me up when you have something that I can wrap my head around. Because all of this to me feels, and maybe it's some 4D chess that I'm not understanding, but it doesn't feel very productive to me at this point. Now, another story, and we will get back to Plattner here. I want to play some of these cuts. But I would be remiss if I didn't mention, because it's something we've been talking about a lot lately, Taylor, which is the Spencer Pratt. California, big races tomorrow. We're looking at the gubernatorial race. We're looking at the mayoral race. And Spencer Pratt has been putting out these amazing ads. And something that he put out today was just a homeless encampment that was kind of set up around a ballot box. And he said, I don't even have to direct these ads anymore. They just write themselves, because you can just drive around LA with a phone.
Was Karen Bass electioneering at this one too?
I'm not so sure. But I wanted to play a cut here of Spencer Pratt, because there's been a really coordinated effort, Taylor, over the last few weeks from the mainstream media, from a lot of these celebrities like Jane Fonda and Chelsea Handler, to try to take him down, only because they're seeing the kind of support that he's been able to drum up, not just financially, but you can kind of feel it. There's an energy to his campaign in Los Angeles.
I love Jane Fonda.
And so they're all panicking now. They're all coming out. Jimmy Kimmel got the talking points. I think his talking points come from his wife. She runs a very tight ship. But they're all getting the talking points. Hey, Spencer Pratt bad. We got to go after him. And he was on NBC. And it's amazing, too, because none of these people would ever ask a critical question of Karen Bass. By critical question, I mean like the obvious. Why were you in Ghana when LA was burning? What's your feelings on Castro? People accuse you of being a Castro sympathizer. What's your response to that? Just anything, anything relevant. Why do you think Los Angeles is in a good spot right now? Are you happy with the progress that you've made over the last few years? But instead, they save all those questions for the guy running against her, Spencer Pratt. So can I have Tom Lamas? For some reason, I want to say Tommy Lamas. Can I have Tommy Lamas cut 13?
What about people that might say, is this just about self-promotion? Is this just about to get your brand? And man, your brand is hot right now. It's probably hotter than ever right now. How do you convince those people that you say, no, I really want this job. I want to change the city.
Yeah, let's rewind.
Everything I've ever worked for burned in my house. Everything my parents ever worked for burned in their house. I got on this mission. It was never to run for mayor. I started this to expose the corruption and the negligence of our city leaders. And when I got to the farthest distance I could, where I proved they were obstructing justice, altering after action reports after the fire, and there was nothing more they could do, that's when I organically got in the race, because no one else was going to run. I was never going to be the mayor, but nobody was going to run against her that could beat her. I had to step into this. And again, running for mayor is not fun. Let's be clear. I have to have 24-hour security with the amount of death threats. My kid now has to have a security next to him when he goes in the ocean, because psychos come to the beach to her. This is not like, oh, I get to be on a new show. I'm like, oh, I'm Tom Cruise. I'm in Top Gun 3 with Miles Teller. This is not fun fighting DSA socialists in the city of L.A. So yeah. Anybody that really is paying attention, politics is not fun. And now I'm deep in politics fighting a machine that is against the truth.
Yeah, it kind of brings me back to that old idiom, necessity is the mother of invention. Like, he felt... I always say desperation is the mother of invention. He felt desperate. He's looking around at his pit, at his home that's no longer there, this empty lot, and he's angry about it, and he's getting a lot of traction online because he had a lot of followers. He did have a platform. And then he's starting to interact with people who like what he's saying and who feel seen and who feel like he hears them. And he's also voicing this frustration and this devastation over what they've lost. And all of a sudden, he starts looking at it going, am I the only one who's going to give this woman any sort of run for her money? Is she just going to sail through here? And then he joined. But the other part of that question that I really hate, Taylor, is like, is this just for your brand? Let's not be naive. Like, I would rather a guy like Spencer Pratt, who does thrive off attention and does handle the spotlight well and doesn't mind eyeballs on him and doesn't mind headlines about him and doesn't mind, as Bill Maher said, like, doesn't mind being hated. He's more built for it. As opposed to the homeless advocate who went on and was interviewed after the debate. She got slammed in that debate, and she's like, you know, I was so upset the next day. I thought the debate was going to be mostly about bike lanes. You're not ready for this, girly girl. This isn't for you, okay? Politics ain't beanbag, and politics ain't bike lanes. So maybe it's not for you. Maybe you got to go to move to a different rodeo. But I would rather someone, the man in the arena, who's been, you know, boo, hiss, tomato, 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 and has... developed a thick skin and has been hardened and has seen the other side and then goes into it eyes wide open. I don't see what's wrong with that. It's reminding me of, like, when you watch these shows, like, which a lot of you don't, because a lot of you are smart people, and that's why I'm here, to tell you what you're missing. There's a lot of shows out there, like reality TV dating shows, and one of the common refrains is, I don't think this person's here for the right reasons. This person's a fame whore. This person just wants Instagram followers. I remember one season of The Bachelor. It was The Bachelorette, so it's all the guys were competing for the girl, which is always funnier. Because seeing guys act catty is just, it's just too funny. And the guys were talking, Taylor, like off camera to each other. Two guys were getting along, and one of them said, hey, if it doesn't work out, if we don't win, we'll go to Miami. I've got a boat. We can cruise around. There's tons of chicks. We'll go to Miami. And another guy overheard the conversation and told the Bachelorette, I heard them talking about if they didn't get a rose, they were going to go to Miami and go on boats and meet girls. They're not here for the right reasons. And I was like, oh, so they're normal guys. And so they can't be here. But this idea that, like, the person running for mayor shouldn't be trying to promote themselves. You shouldn't be in it for anything except for it's 2026. Like, why are we acting like Pollyanna? Of course he's in it for himself. He's in it to get his house back. He's in it to change things. But sure, that would be like me being here. Oh my gosh, you know, I'm not in this at all for any attention for me. I really am just like, you know, I'm a wallflower. I'm just in it to relay the information. Hell no. I like a little razzle dazzle. So does Spencer Pratt. He's not pretending to be anything that he's not. That's my whole thing. Just be who you are. Why play this game of like, no, I really... And the reason they're focusing on that is because that's the thing that's working for him. It's the fact that he's a showman, just like Trump's a showman. And you can argue that Trump or Spencer Pratt became even bigger after they entered into this world of politics. But there's a real big argument that they lost a lot. And he just was listing it off. You could say the same thing for Trump. Trump could go anywhere. He was beloved everywhere he went, courtside, award shows. He was everybody's favorite. And he goes down that golden escalator, a lot of that stops. All of a sudden, assassination attempts, as Spencer Pratt just pointed out. All of a sudden, a lot of people hate him and want to see him dead. But he thought, well, this is worth it. This is the country's something worth saving, so I'll do it anyway. Spencer Pratt made the same calculation. He's like, hey, he likes being an entertainer. He likes being an influencer, whatever you're saying. But you look at something, you make a calculation, you go, this is worth it for me. This is meaningful enough for me to maybe risk it and try something else. And we're going to shame people for that? And it does go along with a trend here with Democrats where it's like there's no job that you can have before public life that they think is worthy of joining this club of smelly breath dinosaurs who have ruined the country and driven us into the ground. There's nothing you can do. You're a plumber, Mark Wayne Mullen? No, thank you. You're a dairy farmer, Devin Nunes? No, thank you. You're a reality TV star? No, thank you. You're a reality TV star villain? No, thank you. What do you want? What do you want? What can someone do that's not just sucking off the government teat for 20 years and then trying to run for president that would make you happy? There's nothing. I hope he wins. I don't know. And then you've got the gubernatorial race in California, which is also very interesting. You got Katie Porter, Tom Steyer. You got the two Republicans. And I'm watching that closely as well. We're going to have a lot to talk about. We'll focus on it a little bit more tomorrow. But this is certainly, these are two races that could have major ramifications. Now, back to Plattner here for a minute. So the main wire has been asking him quite a bit to respond to any of these stories. And instead, what he did is he sent his wife out with her phone while she was walking the dogs or something and said, can you make a video where you defend me? And she did. And since then, they've been trying to blame the media. The media is the bad guy. This is whenever there's a situation where the media rises to the occasion and actually reports news, that's when they're the bad guy to Democrats. Do you notice that? It's like the media covered up for Joe Biden for 4 years and all these people, they couldn't say enough good things. You know, the media is great. Pulitzer prizes for everyone. The second the media starts going, it does seem like the guy's losing it, the media was awful. And Joe Biden was like, how dare they? How dare they do this to him? So now that the media is actually covering this guy's sexting scandal, Graham Plattner,
and vis-a-vis, they are forced to cover all of his other scandals that they've been ignoring.
Yes. And they're kind of thrown in the towel. Don't you get that sense that they're kind of like, okay, there's no more covering for this guy.
Yeah,
everyone has a limit.
I think the memo went out internally. This guy will be out before the end of the month.
Yeah. And so just let him have it so we can regain a little bit of credibility. Like, covered it. It's like the people in the, it really is like the end of the Biden era where it's like everyone starts being like, yeah, I really thought that too. Actually, I saw him a couple of months ago and I remember I told you, hey, remember? Yeah, I told you that, didn't I? On the side, I said, he seems a little off. So yeah, I was kind of in on it earlier too. No, you weren't. No, you weren't. You were covered for this guy unless, of course, someone from up above said, we're done. Cut him loose. You send him back to the oyster farm. We're done with him. And so this is what he's been saying, though, leading up to this. This was a flashback to January on CNN. This is Cut 6.
I'm wondering, are there other skeletons from your past that still may emerge in this race?
No. I haven't lived a boring life, but I haven't lived a very complicated life. I've never been close to money. I've never been close to power. I've never really had the ability to screw people over. My life is not very complicated, and there is not anything else coming.
I would disagree. I would love to know what he considers a complicated life, because if this ain't it, man, what is your standard for a complicated life? Like, what do you think of? Because I would totally disagree with that assessment. I don't think you give yourself enough credit. You're a tremendous creep. You should really, you don't sell yourself short there. Plattner. This is another comment with Mehdi Hasan back in May, Cut 7.
Is there other stuff out there that's going to come out now?
It's June
between
1st.
Now and November. Is there another chat forum we don't know about? Another tattoo we haven't seen?
No. The everybody's seen all my tattoos now, and everybody's read all my internet comments. It, like, and we released everything. Okay. We put it all back in October.
Time will tell.
Time will tell. And look, the Republican Party is absolutely going to lie. You know, at some point that's coming. They, you know, said they swift voted John Kerry. They said Barack Obama wasn't an American. So like, when it comes to the Republican Party, God only knows what they're going to come up with that isn't true. They just ran an AI generated.
They did, yes. Ridiculous.
Yeah. So like, the dirty tricks. That's all going to happen.
Yeah.
So nothing from me, though. If it's from somebody, it'll be from the Republicans, even if it's true.
God only knows. Well, God and a couple people on Kick, a couple people on these weird platforms know. A couple people who are receiving these towel pictures with the potty in the background, with the lid up. Put the lid down. Have you no shame, good sir. We'll be right back.
I was never a Nazi. I was much too young.
More of The Grace Curley Show up next. This is The Grace Curley Show.
I got the sequin blazer on, and I'm feeling good. Wow, this is like a magic blazer. You think I could sing in it? You think I have some good vocals going?
What are you?
Oh yeah.
No.
Oh yeah.
Wrong genre.
Ooh, she is too hungry for dinner at 8. That was a little Graham Platner-esque. Did you see, Taylor, today that Dr. Jill is doing more interviews about how she's the worst wife ever? Bring her on out. She will not stop. And there was this awkward moment with Craig Melvin where he was like, do you wish you could go back? I love the question of would you do things differently? Because I love how people, especially anyone in the public eye, thinks that any sort of recognition of wrongdoing is the worst thing you can do. Like, just by acknowledging, yeah, I probably would have done things differently. I find that to be so human. Like, don't we all have that?
Oh, sure.
I have that. I've said this before, but I have that multiple times a day. And it's not like I'm walking around with regret, but I'm like, oh, next time. Because you know what my mom always says? You call my mom with a problem, she's going to say to you, the lesson is. She likes to tell you what the lesson is. And for her kids, she genuinely means it. Like, next time, what we'll do is this. So you don't have this feeling next time. Next time, you'll be prepared with this or that. And sometimes I'm like, Mom, I know. That's why I'm calling. I know I made a mistake. But I don't really see anything wrong with some self-reflection and saying, yeah, in hindsight or what I've learned or I wish I could have done it over, not Jill, not Jill. And her excuse is like, well, it was his choice to make. Who are you trying to kid, Edith? Edith, Edith, Edith. Who do you think you're fooling? It was his choice to make. The only thing you were letting that guy choose was his ice cream flavor. And even then I could see him saying, why don't I try that? No, Joe. No, 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 no. We're getting the chocolate. Remember last time we went off grid and you didn't like it? So you're not getting that one. You're getting the chocolate chip. You're going to be happy with it.
Dr. B.
Getting these funky flavors. And then I'm going to have to pull the car around and go back because you didn't like it. You're getting two scoops of what you know. What you know, and you like it. And you're going to shut up and you're going to eat it. And now we're supposed to believe that he was the one deciding whether or not he was going to continue this race. I don't think he even decided if he was going to run in 2020. I think that was Jill, too, pushing him along. And there's other quotes coming out, or other parts of this book, where she's still beefing with Kamala. She's still, you know, because Kamala didn't like the way they handled it, and she's saying, well, she should have said something in the moment. But it's all a mess, and it's all in this effort to sell books, which, again, they must be spending round the clock with all the money they've made in all their years of grifting, that they don't have a little nest egg to rely on is shameful. You know what I say to Jill? Get out your sequin blazer and start singing, because you're going to need to make some money some way, somehow, girl. I don't think this book's going to do it. Howie Carr, coming up next.
You think you just fell out of a coconut tree?